You ready for a word today? Without any further ado, we got a preacher in the house, and I've asked him to share today. So won't you welcome Brother Kavar Reed. Just say this about this man of God. Amen. He's an awesome man. He's a doctor, Kavar Reed, but he's also a reverend. Many of you may not know, but he received his credentials with the Assemblies of God earlier this year. So he's Reverend Dr. Kavar Reed, and soon to be married, Mr. Kavar Reed. Amen. He's just a great friend. He's a blessing to the church. He's been able to speak all over the place. He was one of the featured speakers at one of our camps during summer camp this year. He did workout sessions at Fajola. He was the featured speaker at Lost Valley. And we all know Kavar, so get your notebooks out. You already know he's going to bring it. He's a preacher and a teacher, and he's just a man of God of integrity. And we just have known him for many years, and we're blessed to have him today. What you preaching on today, brother? Oh, are you really? Amen. Bring it. Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We bless your holy name. We glorify you above ourselves. Lord Jesus, your word is priority. So have your way. Correct us and change us based on the things you want to speak. I love you for this opportunity. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So good morning and God bless you. It really is an opportunity, a true joy to be back here. I've been traveling, just talking about Jesus, so I'm happy to be here talking about Jesus. Give you greetings from my parents, honoring Pastor Eddie and Sister Melinda, Pastor Steve and Sister Lindsay, Pastor Paul and Sister Mary. Appreciate your leadership here. Okay, let's go to Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read a small passage of scripture. I'm going to tell you the topic, and then we're going to preach. All right? Revelation chapter 21, from verse 5 through verse 8. Phenomenal. I'm going to tell you the topic, and then we're going to preach. Okay, here we go. Revelation chapter 21, 5 through verse 8. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Today I want to speak to you from the subject, the loving God and the lake of fire. The loving God and the lake of fire. Okay, here we go. Tell me if you've heard this before. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? The question suggests that there's something wrong with God if he's willing to watch his creation suffer forever. The logic continues that there's no way this can be morally right. Therefore, the existence of God is definitely wrong. And since God is wrong, the Bible is wrong. And since the Bible is wrong, Christians are wrong, and Christian values are wrong. And so whatever you do, whether right or wrong, doesn't ultimately matter because there's no God, there's no judgment, there's no heaven, there's no hell. You just live, then you die, then you're done. Because a loving God can't send anybody to hell. It's crazy. This question keeps people from even considering God because they think they found his fatal flaw. He's unfair. The truth is, however, this question ignores some very basic truths about the gospel. Truths like God is both loving and just. The fact that God's heart is broken over man's sinfulness. The fact that God never made hell for anybody. The fact that God has made us a way to escape the condemnation for our sins. The fact that God is pleading with you every day not to go to hell, so much so that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to block your path to hell, and we only end up there because we reject the only way to get out of hell, and his name is Jesus. The sad truth is that this pattern has always been our way. Since the beginning of human history, human beings have been in a self-destructive cycle of hearing God and rejecting God and then reaping the consequences of disobedience to God. So today, I want to address this alleged contradiction between the loving God and the lake of fire. And I want to make clear that there's nothing wrong with God. The problem has always been with me. I want you to see from the scriptures that we have sadly, tragically, always been rejecting God's rescue plan when he's made a way for all of us to go to heaven, and so none of us have to go to hell. Okay, I'm gonna give you these 4 points. We're gonna preach them and then we'll be done. Here we go. Point number one, we're gonna talk about the anarchy. Write it down. The anarchy. The anarchy. The anarchy. Second, we're going to talk about the ambassador. Third, we're going to talk about the ark. Lastly, we're going to talk about the answer. This is all going to be found in Genesis chapter 6, the story of Noah. The anarchy, the ark, the anarchy, the ambassador, the ark, and then the answer. Okay, I want to start by reading Genesis chapter 6 from verse 5 through verse 8. It says this: the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the entire human race, and with them the animals and the birds and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Anarchy. A state of disorder due to absence or non-recognition of authority. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth for you and I to enjoy with him forever. Since the beginning, we've been trying to run the heavens and the earth without his assistance and without his leadership. God had one rule in the garden, and Adam and Eve broke it. Since then, we've had a sinful tendency to keep breaking God's heart by breaking God's laws, which has resulted in broken relationship with God and has led to a broken world and cycles of human brokenness. So here we are in Genesis chapter 6, about 1600 years since we first had our big break with God in the garden. Certainly there have been a few righteous people since then, but as time has passed, human beings, in summation, have become less and less godly and more worldly. The scripture says everyone's plans were evil. People were evil towards their neighbors, evil towards their own children, evil towards their spouses, evil towards strangers. People thought evil, dreamt evil, did evil, traded evil for evil, went to sleep, got up, and did evil all over again. No one thought, you know, maybe I should chill today. Maybe I should be nice today. No, they thought to themselves, who can I hurt and who can I keep on hurting? Friends, this is not the way God established the order. This is anarchy. The Bible says that all of this deliberate, consistent, unrepentant evil was hurting God's heart. He pained every day seeing his best work do their worst work. This was not their created purpose. In his love, he's been patient. In his love, he gave them the example of Adam and Eve, who had to deal with the consequences of their sin. But now, in his justice, he has to punish anarchy. Parents, would you let your children constantly disobey your rules and say, oh, but she's so cute. Oh, but I love her. No, if you were my father, you would say, well, okay, boy, all right, it's time. Get that belt, it's time. This world that we're seeing in the scripture is similar to the world we're living in today. Folks say they can live without God. We don't need church, we don't religion, we don't need religion. I will just follow my heart. But without God cleaning our heart or changing our heart, we will only hurt ourselves, hurt each other, and continue to hurt the heart of God. It's anarchy out here. It's anarchy out here. This morning, you probably got the same email. I awoke to a text message, actually, from the University of Michigan. Hey, stay at home, 3 a.m., shooter outside. It's Sunday morning. Saints, it's anarchy. This is not normal society. This is not a healthy world. People just being people. Nonsense. People are being the worst versions of themselves because we have not accepted the help from heaven. And we've gotten used to it. Oh, people just people. This world is out of control. You see, the world is not just following different rules. People are not just following their truth. This world is in rebellion to God, and God will not allow rebellion to go unpunished. This is not the way God, the designer, created things to be. This is anarchy. Okay, I'm moving fast. Point number two, we're gonna talk about the ambassador. Let's go to verses 8-12, please. 8-12, thank you. The ambassador. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. The ambassador. An ambassador is a person who acts as a representative or promoter of a specific activity. While the whole world was in anarchy, Noah was an ambassador for God's leadership. The scripture describes him as a just man, morally right, living in a morally corrupt society. It was literally Noah versus everybody. Think about what life must have been like for Noah. Noah is the only one in the group who refuses to lie to cover up a mistake. Noah is the friend in that group who's the only one that leaves the room when the rest of the guys start watching pornography. Noah is the one who refuses to curse the person who's cursing him back. Noah's the person who gives the extra change back when somebody overpays him. That's Noah. And everybody's like, dude, what are you doing? That's not the way we live down here. This is a hard life to live. And for some of us, being an ambassador for God honestly feels like an unfair burden. Because God is asking you to live a way that people in your own household don't live. A way that people across your industry don't live. As an ambassador, you are going against the anarchist trend. But church, let me remind you, it might be the rules of the culture, but as an ambassador, you follow the rules of the kingdom. As Christ ambassadors, we pray every day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I don't care who don't like it, because it's God's world. Everywhere Noah goes is anarchy, selfishness. Yet he lives a life in which God reigns and rules. As an ambassador, Noah is the exemption to the ark anarchy. Christians, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you should be the exception to every cultural norm that is unbiblical. I should look at you and look at the culture and say, oh yeah, you're the weird one. Because our citizenship is in heaven. Friends, my fear is that we are too influenced by the world and its rebellion. Like, why is it that we want to stand out for sports and academics and beauty, but we want to hide our spirituality? Like, I don't mean any harm, but your school needs you to be a Christian more than they need you to be prom queen. Your team needs you to be a Christian more than they need you to be the captain. Because it's anarchy out here. And somebody needs to see Jesus through his ambassador. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is your call as an ambassador. So, yes, you might be the only one at work who prays before lunch and they're watching you. Very good. You might be the only one who, when they come to work, your weekend includes church. That's wonderful. Keep shining your light. In fact, as an ambassador, you should be promoting the agenda of the people you serve. So you shouldn't just be saying, I had a great time in church. You should say, I had such a wonderful time in church. Let me send you the link. Why don't you come with me next week? Youth convention was so much fun. You gotta come with me next year. It's not enough, saints, to just be like, oh, I'm a Christian, that's cool. We are ambassadors. We're trying to bring other people into this heavenly kingdom. Don't be selfish. Do your job. Your life should be a public display of obedience to Jesus. Your life should be a public display of obedience to Jesus. If people want to know what Jesus is like, if people want to know how Jesus serves, if people want to know how Jesus apologizes, they should say, oh, I met this girl that goes to this church and I see Jesus in her. Ambassadors, do your job. Do your job. Don't blend in. Do your job. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I know it's hard feeling like you're the only one. The scripture says Noah was the only one in the whole world. You're going to be all right. Think about it. Noah is the only one in the whole world, but he stuck with God's laws. Why? Because Noah knew obeying God's word has blessings and disobeying God's word, it got some consequences. The anarchy, the ambassador. Let's keep moving. Let's talk about the ark. The ark. Thank you so much. The ark. So God said to Noah, listen, I'm about to end these people. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely gonna destroy both them and the earth. So here's what I need you to do. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're gonna build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits high, 50 feet wide, 50 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof and opening one cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark, make lower and middle decks, and I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all of life under heaven. Every creature that has breath in it, everything on the earth will perish. God gave Noah IKEA-level instructions. Because if you want to survive the end of the world, you got to obey all of God's instructions. Let's keep going. I will establish my covenant with you. I'm going to make a promise with you. And you're going to enter the ark. you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Do you know why we do missionary work? Do you know why we do Watch Weekend? Because we're trying to help people survive the end of the world. The world makes us feel like, oh, you're just bringing me to some cult. Nonsense. I'm trying to save your life. Bring them in. Bring them in. 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded. He said, I ain't no dummy. The ark. So Noah was honoring God. The rest of the world was playing God. Noah walked with God while the rest of the world was at war with God. Noah followed God's rules while the rest of the world rebelled against God's rules. The word of God had always been Noah's lifeline even before the end of the world. The word of God had always been Noah's lifeline even before tragedy struck. So, although this invitation to build the ark was new to him, it was not strange to him because he had consistently been living by God's words. This is really important because Noah was close to God. He knew God's judgment was coming, and because he was close to God, he knew how to escape it. Because the rest of the world was so far from God, they had no clue what was coming, and they had no clue how to escape it. Friends, this is powerful stuff because it means if you live by God's word, you'll be saved by God's word 100% of the time, even if it's a worldwide flood. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you follow the word of God, you'll know what to do in a crisis. How you think we survived COVID? It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. When your life pleases the Lord, he promises to take care of you regardless of what the diagnosis is. Because Noah was in the world and not of the world, he was in the ark and not out of the ark when the rain started coming. It's crazy to me how many folks say they want to go to heaven and they want peace on earth, but they don't submit to the lordship of the God who made heaven and earth. It's nonsense. It's a contradiction. Noah knew about the flood, other people didn't. Noah knew how to build the ark, other people didn't. But this is not because a loving God could only save 8 people. No, it's because Noah spent his life doing what God was leading him to do, and building the ark was just another message in the word of God for him. It wasn't the first message he obeyed, and it certainly wouldn't be the last one. But what God told the rest of the world to do, they weren't doing it. So they were all out of the ark when the floods came. This kind of rescue from God is only available to those who serve God. The lifeboat is only for those who live the lifestyle. Salvation is not a get out of jail free card. Otherwise, everybody would just hop the boat the last minute. But God's instructions need to be obeyed. And as you obey them, God gives you more instructions that preserve not just your life, but the life of your family in righteous living. So if you're waiting for the last day you breathe your breath to give your heart to Jesus, you are fooling yourself. You're not gonna survive the flood because you won't see it coming. In fact, what I love about the scripture is this. Noah's ark could have been anyone else's ark if they would have just obeyed the word of the Lord. But you cannot get God's rescue without following God's rules. Noah's lifeboat was a product of Noah's godly lifestyle. That's it. Why are your family so blessed? Why are your kids doing okay? Why is God healing you? It's the lifestyle. It's the lifestyle. It's the lifestyle. Not because God loved Noah more than other people. No, our loving God provided the whole world with his guidance. But only Noah decided to listen, and so only Noah got the boat. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is the Titanic. The rest of the world rejected God's word, and in doing so, they rejected God's rescue plan. Simple. So church, hear me. How you live is how you gonna die. If you live in rebellion to God, you will die in rebellion to God. That's a you thing. That's not a God thing. If you live however you want, I promise you, you're gonna die a death you don't want. The people who were not in the ark were not interested in God's word. They were not involved in God's work. They were not moving in response to the prompting of God's spirit. So they were not in God's rescue plan. And that was not God's fault. It was their choice. Are you grasping this? The people in the ark were the people who were obedient to God before the flood even came. The only ones who were left out were the ones who wanted to be left out because they were not interested in the word of God that gave them the roadmap to build the ark and escape the judgment. They wanted to be out. They wanted to be out of church, out of God's word, out of God's will, out of God's godly accountability, out of God's plan, out of God's authority, and ultimately they were out of options when the flood started flooding. This story is so sad to me because in a world full of people, only 8 people were in the ark. Only 8 people in the whole world said, you know what, God? You made the heavens and the earth. I think you know what you're talking about. Let me listen to you. Everybody else said no. No, I don't need God. I don't need his word. I don't need his help. I don't need no church. And so all they got was his punishment for their rebellion because they rejected his escape plan. Friends, you see, the issue is not how could a loving God condemn all these people? It's why did all these people who did not recognize their sin leave God alone and say, I don't need no boat. I'm good here. That's the question. Friends, especially my unsaved friends, hear me. You do not escape God's wrath by ignoring God's word. You miss God's rescue by ignoring God's word, and you remain under God's wrath. Make a better decision. Listen to John chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, whosoever believes in him is not condemned. They get to go into the boat. But whoever does not believe, whoever ignores the word, stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Friends, heaven is not for God's favorite people. Heaven is for the people who choose to follow God. And all of you qualify, but not all of you will make that decision. The word you're obeying right now is the word that's preparing you for heaven. On the other hand, the word you're ignoring right now is what's keeping you from eternal life with God. The ark was not a lifeboat for God's favorite people. It is the product of a lifestyle of following God despite the anarchy in the world. The lifeboat is a product of following God, even when you're the only person in your group that follows him. So, ambassadors, don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. The ship is on the way. My parents always say, hey, heaven is closer than we think. The coming of the Lord is sooner than we think. So don't minimize the value of serving God and learning about God, because that right there is preserving your life, not just here, but in eternity. In listening to Jesus now, you are saving your life and securing your future. God has an eternal home set up, but it's only set up for prepared people. It's sad. It's a tragedy. It's one of the scariest stories in the Bible. When only eight prepared human beings in the whole world got to go into God's life-saving opportunity, everything else in the boat was an animal. We've got donkeys. We've got rats, we've got snails, we got bats, but we have none of Noah's neighbors who called the police about the noise he was doing hammering away late at night. Nobody was smart enough to say, hey, can you tell me why you're doing that? We've got chickens, we got horses, we got lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but in this boat, we are missing the very people God created to have dominion over all of these animals. Eight? Eight people? How is it that all these animal instincts said go, and all these people's human instincts said, no, that's not for you. Don't even be curious. Don't even give that God a try. Don't even ask what they're doing. Don't even ask why he's so happy. Don't ask why he's building. Don't ask what he's reading. Don't ask. You don't need that. Don't ask, don't tell. They thought, there's no way a loving God would punish all these people. And guess what? They were wrong. Genesis chapter 7, verse 23 says this: God wiped out every living thing on the earth. People, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky, all destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those in the boats. The ark looked more like a floating zoo because human beings said no thank you to God's rescue plan. Every time I see our kids with like the little coloring of Noah and the giraffe sticking out and the elephant sticking out, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. Don't say no to God's rescue, friends. Okay. The anarchy, the ambassador, the ark. Last one, and I'm done. Let's talk about the answer. The answer. Matthew chapter 24, from verse 37 to 42. The answer. This is Jesus talking. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was where people were anarchists and there was one ambassador and it was hard to live for me, so it's going to be when I come back. For in the days before the flood, people were hanging out. People were eating and drinking, marrying, giving up to marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be when I come back. He says, there's going to be two people in the field. One of them's going to be taken and the other one left. Two women going to be grinding at the handmill. One of them will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day your Lord is coming back. That's crazy, though, because a loving God would never send anybody to hell. Forget that. Again, to me, the story of Noah's Ark is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. And we're only in like the sixth chapter of the first book. This is not a story of God exacting vengeance upon everybody. It's a story of a whole world foolishly rejecting God and reaping the consequences of rejecting God. It's a story of God looking for friends and only finding fighters. only 8 people in the whole world chose to honor God's voice. That's less than the number of people in this service right now. That's less than the number of people you work with. That's less than the number of people who will probably be at your holiday barbecues. The loving God only had 8 people in the whole world who thought he had the right to rule. So you ask, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? How can a loving God only rescue so few people and like leave the majority out? Friends, the reality is right now, you and I are making decisions about where we want to spend eternity. And some of us are choosing hell over heaven because we're choosing our way over God's way. It's God's choice. It's your choice. It's not God's choice. What God chooses is to send you chance after chance to meet him and know him and love him. What God chooses is to be patient with you, long-suffering with you, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you again and help you recognize, hey, the way you're moving leads to destruction. Get off that road. What God chooses is to love you so much that he sent his only son, that whosoever, ambassador, anarchist, atheist, believes in him does not have to go to hell anymore, but has everlasting life. That's what God chooses. So what are you choosing? By claiming you never want to serve God, you're rejecting the only way to be saved from your sins. Having Jesus forgive you and following him is the only thing that will carry you to safety, both in this life and in the next life. Following Jesus is the ark. The love of God set the ark. The justice of God will punish the anarchy. I set before you 2 roads, life or death. You got to choose life. Salvation is big enough, and God is merciful enough to rescue everyone who says yes to him, regardless of the lifestyle they live. Friends, there is a judgment coming on this world for disobedience. And only the ones who live in obedience, despite the anarchy, get to escape it. That's a choice you have to make. The anarchy, the ambassador, the ark, and the answer. Okay, bow your heads, close your eyes, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. If you're here today and you're an ambassador, you're like, Brother Kavar, I love Jesus, I serve Jesus. My challenge to you is keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. There's a robe of righteousness for those of us who endure to the end. That's for you. There's a place prepared for you called heaven, and by following Jesus right now, you are preparing for that place. You will not have to face the judgment coming on the world because you're following the great escape. But maybe today you're not saved. You're like, Kavar, I don't serve Jesus. I really am an anarchist. I like doing my own thing. Sister, brother, I've been where you are many times over. No judgment here. The word, God sent this word to help you get in the ark. Jesus loves you and has a rescue plan for you, but you got to choose to say yes to the way out. Loving God has provided a way of escape from the lake of fire. That does not have to be your end, but you got to make that choice. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're not a Christian and you're like, Kavar, I want to make this, I want to be all in today. I want to be in the ark. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Could you raise your hand for me? I want to pray for you. This is your time. Like, Kavar, I'm not a Christian, but like, I'm making that decision. I'm all in. I'm all in. This is the only way to escape the mess of this world and experience eternal life with Jesus. Anybody want to give their heart to the Lord today? Anyone want to accept the rescue plan? God bless you. Thank you so much. I see you. I want to pray for you. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Amen. Amen. Second call for anyone who you're a Christian and you're an ambassador. You're like, Kavar, I serve Jesus, but man, it's hard out here. It really is hard out here. Sometimes I feel like the only one, and sometimes I'm not doing my best job of representing Jesus. Could you raise your hand for me? I want to pray for you. There's strength for us. There's grace for us. There's grace. There are people who need to hear us banging on the doors, building the ark, because that's the only way they're going to hear about Jesus. God is counting on you to do the job he has assigned you. publicly representing him. If that's you, raise your hand one more time. I'll pray for you. Fantastic. Phenomenal. 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 Here we go. Here we go. As one big family, those of you who raised your hands, I want you to come to the altar and we're going to begin to pray. Altar team, y'all come. Especially my friend who decided to follow Jesus. I see you. We want to pray especially for you. Ask the person in the glasses right there who's coming down. Phenomenal. And y'all come and we're going to begin to talk to Jesus. Our altar team is here. Yeah. Awesome. God bless you. Best decision you ever gonna make. Best decision you ever gonna make. Amen. Those of us who are coming for strength, you want to be a better ambassador. You want to be a better, you understand the signs of the times. God has given you his word. He's given you his instructions. And you're like, oh man, it's kind of hard to obey sometimes. Hey, it's another chance for grace for us. Grace for us. Altar team, y'all go to the people. They're coming. Y'all go to them. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So we're gonna begin to pray all over the room. We're gonna pray for salvation. We're gonna pray for boldness to do the work that God is calling us to do. These are the last and evil days. And right now we are preparing for what for the end that is coming. Hey, we read the end of the book. There's no surprises. There's no surprises, saints. Be ye also ready. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you that you send your word to give us a warning. Lord, we thank you that you are true. We thank you that your word is right. Lord, we choose to acknowledge your instructions today. You said in your word that you came, Jesus, to save us from our sins. And Lord, we confess right now that we got some sins. We got some stuff in our life that's not clean. We got some stuff in our attitude that's not pure. Stuff that's not ark ready, stuff that's not worthy of the call. Lord, right now we repent. We repent of having those desires. We repent of being anarchists. We repent of doing life our own way. Father, we submit one more time to you. We honor your direction. We honor your leadership. We honor your voice. Lord, every word you said in your word, we commit to obeying it. All of your instructions are for us. All of your instructions are for us. Lord, I pray that we won't quit on your word. Lord, I pray we won't get tired of building. But Lord Jesus, I pray you would strengthen the hands of the laborers. Every Christian who's getting tired of worshiping, who's getting tired of believing, who's getting tired of sowing. Lord, I pray for a second wind today. I pray the revelation of your word would give them strength, that they should be not weary in their well-doing, for they shall reap if they faint not. Lord, we thank you that you're making us strong again. I pray you strengthen the hands of Noah. I pray that through the building we're doing, you would save our families. Lord God, through the building that we're doing, I pray that you would save our children and our grandchildren. Lord, I pray through the building that we're doing that you would save our parents and save our siblings. Lord, we commit to being public displays of obedience. Lord, we commit to building loud. We commit to building boldly. We commit to no longer hiding our witness. But Lord, we're the people that you're calling to be ambassadors in these last days. So Lord Jesus, use our witness. Lord Jesus, use our bodies. Lord Jesus, use our habits. Lord Jesus, use our godly rhythms and use us to be a testimony of your goodness in this world. Father, I pray for that one who wants to give their heart to you, that one who's saying yes to you. I thank you that the door of eternal life remains open. I thank you that the door to the ark remains open. God, there's no sin you won't cover. There's no sin you won't remove. And so we bless you for open access. Loving God, I thank you that we have escaped the lake of fire. I thank you that whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. I thank you for making things new for us. Lord Jesus, receive our commitment today. Receive our obedience today. May we no longer follow the crowd. May the pull of the world not be stronger than the pull of the Holy Spirit. Hold us in our hours of temptation.
Hold us in the hours of compromise. God, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I pray you lift up a standard against him. Lord, may we be holy people, the called out, who are ready for the end of the world. Thank you for saving our lives again. Thank you for proving your love again. We don't doubt you. We believe you for our salvation. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for changing us. We thank you for rescuing us. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.